them. I mean, we're pretty amazed that Jesus came for us. But I mean, who wouldn't, right? But for them, for him, for her, for that person that made that decision, all people, one kingdom, because there's only one king, and that's Jesus. I'm not preaching universalism, universal salvation. I am going to preach about that God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, and that truth is found only in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me." Who also said to Simon, we're going to talk about Peter, whose vision is stretched a bit as he goes into Cornelius's house, who is a Roman centurion. And Peter is a Jew. Can you believe it? Cornelius was one of them. And probably for Cornelius, Peter was one of them. But Peter has his vision stretched a bit. I don't know. I've met the meanest woman in the world. It was a couple years ago, probably 20 years ago, I met the meanest woman in the world. I've never met anyone like her since then. I'd had back surgery the second time, and my left leg had, the muscle had atrophied, you know, and it was kind of shrunken up. So after surgery, I was healed up. I was then sent to a physical therapist. Her name was Karen. Literally, her name was Karen. You can't make this stuff up, okay? You might embellish a little bit, but you can't make it up. And she had her hair, it was braided, you know, and it was in like the Leah kind of, okay, braided, and then had, she looked like she was wearing earmuffs, okay, and this parted down the middle, and, you know, you kind of saw this salivating, you know, like, another victim, you know, and that's how I remember it, okay, just walk with me on this, all right. But she said, you know, after she had me on this thing for a while, you know, get your heart rate up, you know, a little bit. And then she said, okay, up here on the table, you know. So I'm still healing up from surgery on my back, my lower back, L5-S1. If you get a chance to do that, don't do that. But if you have to, you have to. So I kind of climb up there. She could have thrown me up there herself. I'm confident of that. So I'm on this flat bed, you know, it's soft, you know, but then she climbs up on the bed with me. And she straddles my right leg flat, and she has my left leg over her shoulder. And she starts leaning in. How many of you know that it hurts to stretch? Especially when something is atrophied, it hurts to stretch. Because you've gotten comfortable with the way it was. You know it's not the way it's supposed to be. But you've learned to live with it or deal with it in your own way. And now there's someone that is stretching you, and it hurts. Nothing else is in your mind except that hurts. And as the tears began to roll down my, she said, "Does that hurt?" No, these are tears of joy. I think sometimes we fail to carry those kinds of things into the reality that we have in our own walk with God, that God wants to stretch our vision as an individual, as a believer in Jesus, as one called to be his servant, as a husband or as a father or as a mother or a daughter, a sister, a wife, as a church, as those who follow Jesus. Does God want to stretch our thinking and our vision just a little bit? Stretching can be painful because we are comfortable. Peter thought that he had gone the limit with Jesus. Now you have to understand where Peter's coming from, right? He's been a fisherman, and Jesus comes to him and hey, can I borrow your boat for a minute? Just go out a little bit, you know. And so Jesus preaches to the crowd on the Galilean shore, and then he says, Peter, I want you to go and drop your nets. And Peter says, well, we've fished all night, haven't gotten anything, but okay, I guess that. They got nothing better to do, you know. So he goes to cast the net, and they have all these fish, right? And then Peter says, away from me, Jesus, for I am a sinful man. Remember all that? And then Jesus says what? Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, all right? So Peter's being stretched a little bit there, you know, but hey, fishers of fish, fishers of men. Okay, I don't know. It seems like cleaner, right? But it's not. It gets messier when you start fishing for men, because men and women are full of sin. And it's like we want fillets coming into our church. We don't want, you know, people that got a mess in their life, right? But God is going to stretch Peter's limits a little bit. He calls him into service. And then this whole forgiveness thing, Matthew chapter 18, Peter says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my neighbor when he comes to me, sins against me, and asks for forgiveness? How many times? Like seven times? I'm a generous guy. Jesus says what? 70 times seven. If you do the math on that, it's 490. I don't think that's what Jesus meant. He meant always, right? Always be ready to forgive whenever someone comes. You know, And then he goes up on the mountain with Jesus. You know, he says, this is great, Jesus, Elijah and Moses. This is awesome, you know. And then let's build a tent. Let's hang out here. And Jesus said, no, we're going down. And the Son of Man's going to suffer and die at the hands of sinful men. And on the third day, rise. And Peter goes, no way, man. That's not going to happen to you. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You track with Peter how he's really struggling with this whole thing, and yet God continues to expand his thinking, and the end, what seemed to be the end at the crucifixion of Jesus, becomes the beginning. From cowering in the dark, Peter becomes one who is a brave and has power as the Holy Spirit comes upon him at Pentecost. But now God is stretching him again. Stretching his vision. If you know the fore part of this story, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a centurion, has been praying, and God says, hey, call for Peter. He's down at Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa, you know, so he does that. And in the meantime, Peter's having a vision because he's hungry. He's up on the roof, and he's praying, and he's meditating, and he goes into a trance, and he sees this vision. Have you read this story? This episode, and so this sheet comes down, and there's reptiles and snakes and probably some pigs and stuff in there, and bugs and all this stuff, and the voice says, rise and eat, Peter. He said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And the voice says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. That happens three times because Peter's a little slow. And just about that time, these guys come from Cornelius' house, and he goes with them. Peter's response, as he sees the Holy Spirit working through his message, he says, now I realize, now I get it. It's painful It's painful to see this. And yet God is not just a God of the Jewish people, although God wanted them to be his instruments of grace for the world. That's why he delivered Noah. That's why he called Abraham. That's why he selected out Moses. That's why he led the people of Israel to the promised land. That's why he was so detailed in that he said, you will be a kingdom of priests for me, for the whole world will be blessed through you and my blessing of you. But they got tied up in themselves. And Peter, too, was still tied up in being who he was. Our comfort can be costly. Our comfort can be costly because we can become very rigid, very brittle. I've seen God work in the past, and he always has to work this way. And because we become brittle, we sometimes break. And God acts in ways and does things in ways that we don't expect, that we aren't ready for from our perspective. And we begin to doubt. We begin to break. Because when our eyes are closed to God at work and trusting him, our hearts are also closed to other people. Perhaps you've, a couple of you, like three of you might remember the Merv Griffin show. That's back there. You can catch it on YouTube or something. Go in the files. It's there. But he was interviewing a bodybuilder. Okay? So those are amazing muscles.
Yeah.
What do you do with them?
I lift things up. I put them down. I lift things up, I put them down.
Yeah, but what do you do with them?
I lift things up, I put them down.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got, what do you do?
I lift things up, I put them down.
That's all he did. I'm thinking, God gives us his Holy Spirit. God gives us his word. God gives us opportunity to be in his kingdom, called to be his people. We're empowered to be a different kind of people. What are we doing with it?
I lift things up, I put them down.
God calls us to expend our energy, to expend our all of our resources, our energy in all things that others might know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, whoever the them is in your life. When God stretches our vision, his blessings shower down. We know the will of God and we're beginning to walk in it. Peter finally said, I now realize that it is how true it is that God no longer shows favoritism, or does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And the right thing is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize his sovereignty and his forgiveness that's found by his blood shed for the sins of the whole world. And we are humbled before God and we are bold before men. We have confidence. We know the thrill of God working through us as lives are changed and as the harvest is gathered in, the harvest of souls. God wants to stretch our vision, your vision and my vision, to better understand what he has called each of us to and all of us to, and that's to be his instruments of grace in the lives of people right around us. And to invite them into his forever family through faith in Jesus. And we can't convert anybody. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we can show up. Peter showed up. Can we show up in people's lives? God has not called me to be your spouse's spouse or your child's parent. He's called you in those places. What's it mean to see God at work in new and rich ways? That all people, one kingdom. I want to lay a challenge out for you today. Peter was a man of the word. Peter was a man of the word. It says the Holy Spirit, gave him this vision. when he was on the rooftop before lunch to pray. He was also a man of prayer. Are you a man or a woman of the Word? Are you a man or a woman of prayer? Peter was obedient to the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, well, I don't. Yeah, but it's them. You want me to talk to that person? They're kind of far gone, aren't they, God? Obedient to the Holy Spirit, God stretched his vision. And Peter rejoiced. Peter rejoiced. Now I realize, he says, now I realize. Is there anything keeping us from hindering us from bringing them to the water of baptism? And the answer is, nope. God's kingdom comes, indeed, without our asking. But we pray in this petition that his kingdom would come among us also, right? If you remember your catechism about the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's kingdom comes, indeed, without our asking, but we pray in this petition that it would come among us also. And not only among us, but also through us. Through you, through me, through guys like Peter, reaching out in grace to people like whoever the them is in your world. You ready? Amen.